when you're doing the chords, you're playing more than one note at a time. Let's say you've just got two notes, actually. And if you listen to this and you say A, C, now those are the right notes, but they're the wrong order, and this is a very common mistake. But the person testing you should not say wrong, because see, you're right. It is an A and a C. It's just that you got them in the wrong order. So the person testing should say right notes, wrong order. This is a good thing to do, because if you don't say right notes, wrong order, we don't want him to start thinking about all the other notes it could be. He's gotten the right notes. It's just that he's got the wrong order. So we tell him that. Right notes, wrong order, and then let him adjust them, and then everything's fine. It's not such a bad thing when you get the right notes in the wrong order. Wrong order isn't so bad. This isn't bad at all. When you can hear the colors, and you can hear that it is an A in there somewhere, and it is a C in there somewhere, then you know that the perfect pitch is growing. It's a very simple thing to get the order correct when you can get the colors.
When is the best time to practice?
The best time to do your exercises is when you feel the freshest. If you can do them in the morning, that would be good. When you're first up in the morning and you feel very fresh, that would be great. And when you're practicing, by the way, sit straight. Don't lie down or slouch or anything, because this will affect your alertness. Be attentive. And close your eyes if you want to listen to the tone, so you don't have to be looking around. Listen effortlessly, but at the same time, listen alert. So we want to do this kind of training when we feel fresh.
Color hearing technique session.
Very good. You've arrived at session number 9. We're making good progress. So first I'll give out the drills for our solo keyboard group. Today, we're going to study our white sixes. This means we're going to reach out and play sixes, just using the white tones. It's like playing from a C to an A, or a D to a B, or a G to an E. You have a white tone on the bottom, like this C. Then you skip 4 white tones, D, E, F, G, and then you come to A on the top. This is a sixth. Now, we're not going to get into the difference between major and minor sixes at this point. We work through all the theory of the sixes and all the other intervals, all that we do on the relative pitch ear training course. Right now, we're just using the sixes on the white tones. Whether they're major or minor is not important. We're sticking to our C major scale, and we're just going to identify our white tone sixes. We're not using any black tones. You just reach out without looking and play a sixth, and then identify the tones. F, D. We'll start with our ascending sixes, and then we'll do our descending sixes, and then our harmonic sixes, just like we did before. Now, if you accidentally play the wrong interval, fine. You'll be able to hear it instantly. Listen to the sixes. If you accidentally play the wrong interval, you're going to know it by ear. You'll get to know the sound of a six. It's a very harmonious sound. If I accidentally play any other interval, your ear is going to be able to pick it up. And if your ear doesn't pick it up for some reason, then you'll discover this when you look at the keyboard, because you have to have 2 white tones separated by 4 white tones in the middle. So go slowly and work on your sixes in this way. And you can do loose sixes for a while. Remember our loose sixes before you do your strict harmonic sixes, if you need some help with it. We need to pass 1 verification round for each of our drills. Remember to compare and correct all your errors. And again, go slowly. This is not a relay race.
Pass your drills only when you feel you're really comfortable with the sounds. Don't just do your verification rounds blindly and pass by the numbers. Oh, I got 20 in a row right, so now I pass. This is not math by the numbers. This is the art of ear training. You have to really feel your tones. And I want you to feel that you own this level of ability. So we want to get more out of our heads and more into the feeling of our tones as we're working, okay? So have your awareness with these sixes very intimately as you're practicing them. So do that drill, and that is your assignment for our solo keyboard group. Now for everyone, we'll get back to our ear training meditation practice. We'll simply add G to our list of tones, or E for the guitarists, and we'll just continue as we have been. That's your assignment there. Okay, how did our solo guitarists do? We had capoed up to F so that our E string became an F. So our entire pitch shifted from here to here. Once again, I'm playing on the synthesizer, as you can hear. So what did you call these strings? How did you name them? Well, if the E string goes up to F, then we have F, B flat, E flat, A flat, C, and F. Whoops, did some of you call these tones as sharps, like A sharp, D sharp, G sharp, C and F? If you did, then that's all right, but we should know that the correct spelling is with the flats, B flat, E flat, and A flat. This is a relative pitch spelling consideration that we discuss very thoroughly on our relative pitch course, so I won't get into this in detail right here, but you should know that if we move our E string to an F, then the A string goes to B flat rather than A sharp. This is the correct musical spelling, the B flat. If you don't know your musical spellings, I'd encourage you to learn them because it's all connected to your ear training. It's like if you want to know how to say a word correctly, then you're going to want to know how to spell the word as well, won't you? Even though the spelling is just something mental, it helps you to remember words that you're going to now speak as a sound. And it's the same way with music. When you understand your musical spellings, you have a framework that classifies these sounds better, and that all goes to help your hearing. So we also capoed up to A, and so our tones would be A, D, G, C, E, and A. Could you recognize the strings as easily when they were capoed? The capo makes a slightly different sound, doesn't it, than our usual open string sound. Did this confuse any of you at all? Or were you able to identify your strings easily because of the pattern, that guitar sound pattern? All this listening is just to massage our ear in different ways. This is why we're doing this. Just to get us to listen a little closer to some finer differences. It's not the same open string type sound with the capo as it is without the capo. It changes something a little. So now we'll move on to a different drill. This is very simple, but this should give you a little challenge for a while, something you can play with. Here's what we'll do. We play an A major chord. I'm using the tones A, E, A, C sharp, and E. Now there's a number of ways to play an A major chord. You can play it any way you want. We just play our A major chord, and then we play any tone at all and identify it, F sharp. Then again, our chord, then any tone at all, A. A major chord, any tone at all, B flat. This is how we do it. We just play our chord and then we play any tone at random and identify it. That's all there is to it. Now, at first, you may find this is a challenge. At first, you don't have any idea what the tone is. But keep working with this drill. I don't even have to guide you too much on this. You just take this drill, practice it, and soon you'll see that each tone relates to the A major chord in a unique way. And soon you'll find that you can identify any tone as it relates to the A major chord. It's not so difficult. I'm not going to talk much about this. I want you to experiment with this on your own. But at first, you do have to spend some good listening time to get the hang of it. So take your time. And each time when you make an error, what do? We have to correct our error. Listen to the right tone with the wrong tone and hear it all again in relationship to the A. Let's say I play my A chord. And then I play this note. And I say, it's a C sharp. Well, it's not a C sharp, it's a D. So I listen to the D, and I listen to the C sharp, and I'm fully with the notes. I'm fully with the tones. Listen again, C sharp, the difference. The D, hear the difference, and then relate it to the A. And there's the D, and the A, and the C sharp. You'll begin to know all the tones in relationship to this A chord. That's your assignment. Now, you may say to me, this isn't perfect pitch. This is relative pitch because I'm relating everything to the A major chord. That's right, you are. As I said, we're ingraining the A major feeling at this point. This feeling of A major will go deep inside of you. It'll become a part of you. Just keep going. This is our preparatory phase, remember. We're only concerned at this point with massaging our ear from many different angles in many different ways. And like I've said before, something is happening underneath the surface as you're practicing these drills, something inside your ear. You think you're doing it all by relative pitch, and you are. But I tell you, color hearing is also becoming cultured. And as we progress with our color hearing technique exercises, you'll begin to see more and more the logic behind the progression of these drills. So that's your assignment, the A major chord, and then any random tone, and learn to identify all those random tones. And keep coming back to your A chord after every example. Now, to pass this drill, we need to do 2 verification rounds. Not just one, but 2 verification rounds of 20 in a row. Then I'm sure you've really got it. Okay, good. So that completes all our solo drills for this session. Now we'll cover our team drills. Now, team players, when you used C, D, and E, we felt that home base was C, didn't we? Did you notice something happen when we added the F? Did you notice how the tones wanted to now gravitate towards our F? All the tones somehow seem to be attracted to the F. Did you notice this? When we play the F, we feel a resolution. Guitarists would have noticed this with D, of course. So before, when we had just C, D, and E, the C was our home base. But then when we added our F, somehow it all changed. Now F has a feeling of home base. Did this throw any of you for a loop at all? Anyway, you must have passed your verification rounds, so you all did fine. The point I'm indicating to you is just this. First, we had C as a home base. Then it switched to F. And when we add our G, now in this session, I think you'll see that the home base will again switch back to C. And later on in our training, even this feeling of C is going to break down. Until, finally, we're not going to have any feeling of home base anywhere. We're just going to be able to know tones without relying on any security at all, just the individual tones themselves. These drills are just to trick our ears in various ways. We fool the ear this way and that way, and this makes it stronger. It starts to have to rely on its own internal powers of absolute pitch perception. You'll see more and more how the progression of these drills naturally draws out your ear's talents. Unless we challenge our ear in some way, all these latent talents will just remain dormant, unused. But we're not going to let that happen. These drills, step by step, are going to take care of that, for sure. Already, don't you feel your ear opening up bit by bit? Haven't you started to feel a little extra crispness, a bit more clarity in your ear's perception because we've been listening? Your ear is going to improve generally as well as musically with these drills. When I say your ear will improve generally, I mean you'll be able to hear better all around. For example, it always happens to me about twice a year or so, someone calls me that I haven't talked to in years, sometimes many, many years. Yet most every time I immediately know who the person is, almost every time. They'll say, "Guess who this is?" And I'll say, "Pam, how are you doing? It's been so long." This just happened a couple days ago, actually. And it's so funny because I'm usually so amazed that I could know their voice after so long. But it's all in the ear training. You can't help but notice these improvements as you continue with these exercises, because when you take upon yourself a program of listening, your ear is bound to open up its listening powers. It's that simple. So for our team players, we'll continue the very same drills by adding our new tone of G. Our guitarist will add the E. And when you've mastered your drills, we'll continue in our next session.